you've got some crackers. There's some crackers. And as I said earlier, we put them out yesterday, so they're disinfected. They're safe. There's one behind you, actually, Dan. And we do need to open them all. So if you've got someone sitting next to you, you've got one there, Summer, you'll have to pull it yourself. Then pull your crackers. And there is a little bit of something inside. Okay. So hopefully we found the little gifts inside. So there's, no, you can't pull the poppers yet. Wait till you get home for that, or I don't think the cleaner would be too pleased. Okay, so there's some letters on the back of some of those gifts. Now, one of you, we'll test your alphabet, will have the eighth letter in the alphabet. So have a little think about which is the eighth letter. And if you've got the eighth letter in the alphabet, do you want to put your hand up? Because you're not allowed to shout. Right, Darren's got his hand up. Can you stand up and just turn it round so people can see what it is? You should know if you know your alphabet. So it should be the letter H. So Sarah is going to put our first letter on the nativity for us. The letter H. Now, as we all know, children love asking questions. When my children were very young, it was like, oh my goodness, when's the next one coming? And they would ask one question, then another question, then another question. So this morning, I thought we'd have some questions for you. Now, unfortunately, you can't answer out loud, so I'm going to have to answer them for you. But the first question is, H, I thought, H, what's H for? H is for hear the message. Okay, so you might say to me, why do we need to hear? Next slide. Because it says in Romans, faith comes by hearing the word of God or the message. Faith comes by hearing. Sometimes, I don't know whether you're like me, I can read my Bible and I can get a little bit into the rote of it and I just read it and it doesn't always jump out. But then I can sit in a service and Nathan or whoever can be preaching. And as I listen to that same message, it's like, doing, the light goes off and it means something and it produces faith within us. So the Bible says, first of all, we've got to hear the message because faith comes by hearing the word of God. So the next question I've got for you, what's the message? What is the message that we need to hear? Next slide. You probably would know this without having it up on the slide. Well, the message is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent Jesus as a little baby. Probably they've worked out, if we were really sort of pedantic, it was probably more in September time, but we celebrate it in December. He sent Jesus, the Saviour of the world, to save us. Isn't that a wonderful message to remember? Now we've heard the message. It produces faith within us that Jesus came for us. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's good news at a time like this. We've had lots of bad news this year. But it's good news to remember that Jesus came. And if we believe on him, we'll have everlasting life. So the next question is, what's our response? So we've heard the word. It's produced faith. We've had the message. Jesus died. He came into the world. So what's our response to that message? Well, next slide. Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What a promise. But the first thing that comes, and a lot of people like to bypass this, they like the for God loved the world and everything's for us, but we have to repent. And I want to share a very sweet thing this morning. The other day we were praying in a prayer meeting, and this lady who doesn't know Jesus yet asked one of the ladies, she said, your prayer meeting gets lots of miracles. And she said, I need a miracle. Will you pray for us? And I won't go into all the details just in case she listens, But we sort of said a little bit of things that maybe she had to change in her life so that God would hear her cries out to him. Do you know that lady went back? She went through her house. She got rid of everything that was going to be offensive to God. She doesn't even believe in Jesus yet. She got rid of it. Now, I know that miracle will come, and maybe in a few months' time, I'll be able to share that that's happened and I can tell you a few more details. But that's repentance. You hear the word, you know what's nice before God, and you think that's not going to please God. And so you do something about it. And what's the promise then? You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He wants to come in. When we clean our lives up, he desires to come in. Now then, someone somewhere has got the 15th letter of the alphabet on the back of their card. Has anyone got the 15th letter? Have you counted? What's the 15th letter? It'll be out there somewhere. Maya, have you got it? No? 15th letter. Has all the crackers been opened? Summer, have you got a 15th letter on the back of yours? Yes. Do you want to lift it up so people can see? They should have worked out what the 15th letter is, but just in case you don't know, the other way around, sweetheart. That's it. It's an O. Now, O, I'm going to ask, is for open our hearts. Are you okay then? O is for open our hearts. So, a question. Why would we need to open our hearts? Are we going to do open heart surgery? I once helped one of the surgeons at open heart surgery. I never liked open heart surgery, let me tell you. It used to be a lot of blood, so we won't go into that. But Jesus tells us to open our hearts. Why would we have to open our hearts? Next slide. Because it says in Psalm 51, verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. So why do we have to open our hearts? Well, he doesn't mean physically open your heart. He means open your hearts before him and say, Lord, cleanse me. Get rid of all the rubbish out of me. Get rid of anything that doesn't please you. Just cleanse me, Lord. And put a steadfast spirit. And a steadfast spirit means one that is immovable. You know that you know that your Saviour is in your heart and you're immovable. God's given you a promise. You know that's going to happen. Put a steadfast spirit within me. So the next question. What is our response? Next slide, please. Well, in 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what's our response? We've got to confess it to the Lord. We've got to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for anything that's in my heart that shouldn't be in there. I'm sorry if I've watched things on the telly that I wouldn't sit and watch if Jesus was sitting next to me. I want to say I'm sorry if I've said things that I wouldn't have said if Jesus is sitting next to me. We once heard a lovely thing by David Pawson that you might have heard about David Pawson. And this young man came to him and he said to him, you know, what films can I go and see? You know, am I all right going to, I love going to the cinema and I go every week and, you know, I watch everything that's on the cinema. And he just simply said to him, okay, go and buy two tickets, buy one for Jesus and one for you, and see if you can watch that film. So this young man said, okay. So he went and he bought two tickets. He went in, sat down, put Jesus next to him. He lasted 2 minutes in the film he went to see, and he had to come out. Bit convicting. Sometimes we watch things that we wouldn't watch if Jesus was sitting next to us. So we have to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I maybe shouldn't have watched that. It was a bit too violent, a bit too much there, a bit too rude. I'm sorry. But the lovely thing is, do you know what Jesus does? When we say that, he forgives us and he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And what's the result if we've done that? Next slide. What's the result when we've asked the Lord to forgive us? Well, we'll walk in that light. And he is the light. And we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. That's the result. When we've gone through those other two things, when we've said sorry, when God's forgiven us, we can then have fellowship with other Christians properly. There's no secrets. We can have fellowship with God because there's no dirty secrets there. Hallelujah. That's the result. Now, someone has got the 16th letter of the alphabet. Oh, right? Can you just turn it round so everyone can see? If you know your alphabet, you'll know that's the letter P. P. So next slide. It's just one word, how. So P, I was thinking, right, you might have guessed what the word's going to be in a minute. But anyhow, P stands for present your bodies. What, Susan? What are you talking about? Present your bodies. In Romans, it says, oh, it's quite old English, this. I beseech you, in other words, I beg you, I ask you, therefore, brethren, brothers and sisters, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. The Lord wants us to give ourselves. He wants us to be that living sacrifice. That doesn't mean you go on a pyre and get burned. Well, not in my English anyhow. But it means that you say to the Lord every morning, Lord, I'm here and I want to give myself to you. Lord, I want to offer myself. What do you want me to do? Do you want me to go as a missionary? Do you want me to simply do an act of kindness and pick up the phone and ring someone who you know at the moment are living on their own and just say, how are you? That's a living sacrifice because you're busy and you're rushing round and you haven't got time to do that. But maybe God says, come on, that person's on their own. Ring them up. What's that living sacrifice that God is asking you today? Is it something as simple as that but will mean the world to someone? Or is it, like Emma did, a call to go out to another country to preach the gospel, to go out as a missionary? Or is it a call to go and be a minister like we've got here, Nathan and William? Go out and serve me. A living sacrifice can mean many things, but the thing is, God asks you for one particular thing. And all he wants you to do is that one thing. And as I say, it might simply be getting on the phone, ringing people up and saying, how are you doing? How are you doing? Jesus loves you. Present our bodies. Well, why would we do that? Why is Paul saying we should present our bodies? The next scripture is in 1 Peter 2:9. Because, Paul says, you are a chosen generation. Do you feel chosen this morning? I love this scripture. You are a royal priesthood. Did you know you're a royal priesthood? You, and I love this, are his own special people. Do you know you're special to God this morning? Oh, he wants to tell you, you are special. And the world might put you down. People might say you're rubbish. People might say you're no good at that. You're not any good. But the Lord wants to say to you this morning, you are his own special people. If you go away from this service with nothing else, listen to that. God is saying to you this morning, you are his special people. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. We were once walking in darkness, but if we've received Jesus as our Savior, we're now in that light. And we can say, we are his special people. You know, part of the ministry God called me to is a women's ministry. And there's so many women who have been hurt and damaged. And one of my favorite scriptures that we minister in is in Psalm. And it says, you were wonderfully made. You are marvelously and wonderfully made. Well, I want to tell you this morning, this is not my words. This is God speaking to you. I don't know why I'm laboring, but I think maybe the Lord wants to get through to people today. You're special. You're special. No matter what the world's thrown at you, God's saying you're a special people. And then last but not least is the fifth letter in the alphabet. Anyone got the fifth letter? Oh, lift it up, Sheila. Should know what the fifth letter is. Is the letter E. So we'll have our last letter. Wonderful. The letter E. Okay, so what did I think about the letter E? We've spoken about this early in the month. E is expect his return. We're remembering that Jesus was born as a baby, but he's coming back. He's coming back. And so why? The question, why should we expect his return? Well, our next scripture says, Revelation 22, 12 to 13. And behold, Jesus is speaking here, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Sorry, got them the wrong way around. He is the first. Oh, and he's coming back. And he's coming back quickly. And the minute we start getting a little bit complacent and thinking, oh, you know, he's not come back 2,000 years, what makes us think he's coming back now? It's dangerous. We've got to be expecting his return. We've got to live. And if we live thinking Jesus was coming in 1 hour's time, what would we go and do in that 1 hour? What would we do? So what does that spell? I can't ask you, can I, again? Oh, actually, I can. I can ask you to put your hand up and you can say it, can't they? Is that right? Not yes. So do any of you children want to tell me what it spells? Maya? Hope. Hope. Well done. It spells hope. Now, hope in the English language is a little bit when we hope that we might get a present at Christmas. We hope that we might get a bike, or we hope that we might get a raise in salary. There's an element of it might not happen. We're only hoping, if you agree with me, if my English is right, we're sort of hoping it might, but we're not completely sure it will. But in the Greek, and I hope I'm right here, Nathan, I looked it up, hope is different. It's a sure thing. The hope in the Greek means it's definitely going to happen. It's a sure thing. When we put our hope in Jesus, we can know that's a sure thing. And the next scripture is from Hebrews, and it says, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. What a promise this morning. Our hope is like an anchor. Now, if any of you, I come from a fishing family, believe it or not me personally, but my granddad, they used to fish in Liverpool. And he used to dive as well, actually. Well, if you've ever tried to lift an anchor, I don't think anyone in this room would be able to lift an anchor. Let's put it that way. It is pretty heavy and it sinks to the bottom of the thing and no one's going to budge it. No one is going to budge it from that place. Well, here we are. Paul is telling you, you have an anchor. Your hope is an anchor of the soul. Sure and steadfast. It's not going anywhere. And because of that, it says we can enter his presence behind the veil. In the Old Testament, they used to have this great big curtain. And actually, the thickness was the thickness of my hand, probably a man's hand, actually. It was really thick, about 8 inches. And when Jesus was crucified, if you remember, the curtain was torn. And in the Old Testament, only the high priest was able to go into the holiest of holies and enter his presence. But here's Paul's telling you something here. Our hope is that now, we don't have to go through a priest. We can enter into his presence because of what Jesus did. And if we've received Jesus, we can enter into his presence behind that veil. Isn't that a wonderful promise this Christmas? With all that's gone on this year, isn't that a wonderful... Now, I've got one more. Romans 5:5. Now, I'm getting a bit emotional. And Pauline will know why. But this says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Hope doesn't disappoint. Jesus never disappoints. And we might get bad news. We might get some life-changing news. But this promise is the same. It does not disappoint. If our hope is in Jesus Christ, no matter what's going on around you, we can still know the love of God. My sister sent me a card this year. As I've said a couple of times, I lost my niece in April, 33 she was, 6 months married. And my sister and brother-in-law, as you can imagine, were just devastated. And the hardest thing was probably the first month after she died was the question, Susan, why did God do that? Why didn't he take me instead? Because Katie wasn't ready. And I had to spend hours, literally, Ruth will tell you, on the phone to my sister saying, Cal, I don't know, but I do know God's faithful and there's always hope. And I spent hours and hours, and she sent me this Christmas card and she said, Susan, without you this year, I'd have lost my faith. best Christmas card I could have had, actually. She said, I really struggle, but I know now I've got to have hope for the future. And so this Christmas she's found hard, but she's made hampers. She's gone over most of Liverpool, I think, with these hampers to give the poor and the refugees that go to her church. She's gone out making cakes for all the old people who are on their own and knocking on doors, taking cakes and sharing the love of Jesus. And it's helped her to know her hope is in Jesus. She can't look backwards now. She's got to look forwards. And hope doesn't disappoint. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, and it's an anchor. And Pauline, it does not disappoint. You're my very precious friend. And I just love the way you face life. God has poured out his love in our hearts by his Holy Spirit. So this morning, the message of Christmas is hope. And it's not a possible, it's not a probable, it's a definite. It's a definite. We have our hope in Jesus Christ if we've given our lives to him and he's got control of those lives. That's where our hope lies. So whatever you're going through, this year, pretty tough year as we all know, but our hope in Jesus will carry us through no matter what we go through. It's got to carry us through. The hope in Jesus is the only thing that will carry us through. And not just carry us through, but carry us through rejoicing, praising, glory in God in our lives. So we're going to finish within the bleak midwinter.